Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Today's episode, and indeed this evening's episode of Two in the Think Tank, is brought to you by Magma. Magma, the show by Andy and Alistair that was on at the Comedy Festival last year that we've now recorded in a televisual format and that can be viewed for your viewing pleasure if you go to SOS Presents. The link is in the show notes below. This episode of Two in the Think Tank is brought to you by Magma. Magma, that's what's brought this thing to you.
SOSPresents.com. Not just SOS Presents.
All right. I said the link's down below. That's nobody's all. Typing it in, Alistair. Nobody's listening to the podcast going, what was that? What did he say? I'm typing it in right now. And then...
whoever finds the notes, who's listening to a thing on a computer and is like, yes, the notes.
What are you talking about?
Easy to access
Absolutely
notes.
Everybody. Absolutely everybody. Eh? Everybody looks at the notes.
Write in if you've ever clicked anything in the notes of anything.
Send a screenshot of the notes. Well, everybody's just Googling it anyway. Nobody needed the .com either way, right?
Great. All right.
And well, at least we started this on a positive note. Take a pot of peanut, put it in the butter, 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 pour it out, drink it out. Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the only podcast that is recorded in the dark, completely in the dark.
That's right, because we... whilst we're not blind, and actually we have excellent vision.
Yes, slightly above average.
We like to remove one of our senses every episode. Andy's doing his in the dark, and I'm floating in a room temperature goo so that I can't feel anything.
The goo of the womb.
I'm speaking into a dangling microphone.
Now... we know that there are men who like to get the colostrum, that first little bit of milk, ladies' milk, that should go to making a baby strong, and that men that like to get that for their bodybuilding, right? Is that real? Or is that something we came up with on the show? We'll never know. But are there also...
No, I think that's real.
Are there also
real.
Men who like to catch the waters when the waters break? Of a pregnant woman, catch that in a bowl, gather
and
that
drink
up.
That water.
Not necessarily drink it, although maybe gather it up. And I was going to say, put it in a big tank. You know, you get the water of like 100, 200 women, put that in a big tank, and then just float in it. You know, like
yes.
Get yourself a little bit of womb juice and just,
get yourself that baby physique,
and then you could that baby wrinkle, that new baby smell. You dive down in there. You could maybe even breathe it in, you know, into your lungs if you want.
I'm sure
it must be very high in oxygen for babies to be able to breathe it. I'm pretty sure that's what babies.
Yeah, so they really do. Yeah, do they? Is that what they do, or they just have it in their lungs?
I think it just goes into their lungs. Yeah, but the lungs must move, must operate. Right? Because all the muscles that babies have to sort of break themselves in, don't they? In the womb.
Yeah, the mom probably releases just a bit of oxygen. There's probably just an air tube that just bubbles into that water.
It's like an aquarium filter. It's just it's
gotta be.
It's carbonated.
It's CO2 that's going in there.
Anyway, these guys, I don't know, I don't know why they do it. Maybe for bodybuilding. Maybe it's a great way to stimulate innovation, you know, because babies when they're first born are so able to quickly learn and adapt to a new environment. And you become that sort of blank slate. And I think maybe that's why... That's what these guys are doing. They'll dive into that every morning. You just dive through the through the womb juice, emerge, tail yourself off, and it is like you're born anew. And every day you're just ready to seize it, I guess.
Yeah,
probably it.
Do you think? Like, I think with the colostrum, it tends to, they probably tend to use cow colostrum the most.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is why it's like it's easier to get access to rather than just take the ones from
out of a baby's mouth
from straight from a baby's take it. It's as easy as sort of scooping colostrum out of a newborn's mouth.
Have we talked about taking candy from a baby? How it's easy, but only physically. Like it's not morally easy, is it? It's not one of those things.
No, but I mean, you can justify it by saying, well, you know, that's too much sugar for a small child.
Oh, you're right. Maybe it is guilt-free then. Maybe that is all part of the ease, is the fact that it's justifiable.
But if it's already been in the baby's mouth, and you know that they're always, you know, spewing up milk and things like that.
Mm.
But then you would, I mean, it depends on what kind of candy. I mean, if that kid, that baby is munging out on a Mars bar, you can just get a knife and slice off the bits he's touched.
Yeah, you're right. Man, that is, you know, so easy.
He's not getting that far. He's not getting that far.
Get yourself a potato peeler. Just take the outer layers off. And then all that, what is that, nougat that's in there?
Nougat and the caramel.
That's all yours. That's still good.
Yeah, babies don't have teeth at this point, so they're...
The cutting power to get to the core, the juicy core of the
Mars. To get to
the
good
Mars
stuff. They're still stuck on the milk chocolate. Barely, probably breaking through some outer, you know, there's probably a thin layer of wax or something like that, anti-melting agent or something.
And
that's all they're getting.
Bodybuilders like to get the Mars bar, the baby's first Mars bar, because it is.
you could take the saliva, the baby saliva off the Mars bar and sell that to bodybuilders. They'll be like, "Wait, is this cow saliva?" And you go, "No," and they go, "Forget it.
I want the saliva of a cow." There's nothing you can remove from that you can steal from a baby cow that you can't sell to a bodybuilder or a bobbybuilder
or a bobby, somebody who trains the best British cops.
That's right, Alistair. Before, you know, when I said that this podcast is recorded in the dark, I'm not lying. I am actually I am in a dark room sitting in front of a wood fire. This is a wood-fired podcast.
Wow.
Grain-fed.
I think mine's wood-fired. Mine's like a gas heat pump.
Oh, that's
fired.
That's good. Now we're podcasting with gas. The official fossil fuel of the Two in the Think Tank podcast.
It's a transition fuel, Andy.
You're right.
Do you think there's anything in these bodybuilders like getting the water from the and bathing in it? I mean, when you were talking about the brains and it affecting, you know, like they're doing it, it felt like maybe, you know, like something about the creativity of babies or the learning ability of babies. It felt like, you know, these are bodybuilders who are not ignoring the brain. That's also a muscle that you need to build.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sure we can find bodybuilders who have said that.
Often bodybuilders skip brain day. you know, it's quite a common common trope, let's just say, in bodybuilder circles.
Never skip brain day. Well,
they do, but they shouldn't.
They shouldn't, yeah. And if they do, maybe what they need is a little bit of cow worm juice. I think that's something, Alistair. Yeah, but I don't know. The way I was framing it is not being about bodybuilders, but about high-powered business people who do this as a way to be born anew every single day. or maybe some kind of a retreat where you can go and they do have a like a spa that is full of the amniotic fluid of
Andy. Why do that when you could just build, when you could just genetically engineer a cow to be big enough
that
you could slip, and pardon my language here, but you could slip almost an entire businessman directly into its pussy and wear that cow like a sleeping bag and just sleep there with just the head just sticking out the back there.
Yep.
Maybe a little bit too close to the anus for comfort for a lot of people, but...
Well, I mean, this...
A high-powered businessman knows that that's where a lot of the strength comes from.
This, yeah, I mean, it sounds like we're sort of offering the Ace Ventura 2 When Nature Calls rhinoceros butt birth as a... as now some kind of a healing... spiritual experience, but with an actual cow, and you can be pulled out, kicking and screaming and squirming, out of its. And I hope I'm using the term correctly here. Cow pussy.
I mean, I apologize that the simple stuff like that really gets me still. It's, I mean, there's a real urge within me to find a way to do this without it bothering the cow in any way.
Mm.
And I feel like it needs to be that it just needs to be a really big cow.
Yeah, I think that, I think, you know, by making the cow as big as possible, per unit volume, the cow will be bothered the least, you know, and I think that's how you calculate the scientific unit of bother. It's bother per meter cubed. And
I think all sensation from that area has to be gone.
Right.
I mean, this feels very invasive for the cow. Mm,
yeah, it's hard to defend, but maybe it could just be growing in a lab. I don't know.
Yeah. Do you think without an actual cow, like without a personality and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you know. I suppose you're compromising.
It's not ideal for the businessman, but I think it feels more right.
Mm,
to just, I mean, if you can grow cow meat,
yes,
then these bits feel like it's mostly just meat and broth.
Well, you know, if we are evolved to the point where we don't need to eat animals to survive, then I think we're also at the point where we don't have to actually climb inside their birth canals to survive as well. You know, if we can do it
to be reborn daily.
Yeah. You know, I mean, maybe it could be an enormous tofu birth canal.
Pussy.
Tofussy. It's...
Yes. These vegetarians trying to recreate human body parts all the time.
Not human, but
animal parts.
We're taking the flesh out of fleshlight, which has always made me uncomfortable. Yeah. And it's the first tofu fleshlight. And...
toe fleshlight. Yeah. But also the idea of recreating a vegan tofu that's flavoured... Like, it's like a fake. so that you can ethically sort of, I guess, go down. Tofussy. I don't know what this is, Andy, but it feels like it's close to almost being a joke.
Yeah, well, I think it absolutely is. It absolutely is. It's not a joke we would ever make, Alistair. We're above this kind of thing.
But look, I can make it more logical.
Okay.
I think if with how bad many men are at cunnilingus, right? Often the only ethical way for them to perform it is on tofussy.
because they're so bad, that it can't.
It's such a bad experience for women. You want to cease the suffering of living beings.
Yes. Oh, that is very good. Very good. Okay. So it's for the feminist vegan male who knows that he's bad in bed.
Mm-hmm.
Great. I'm really looking forward to performing that one live on stage.
Yeah. Well, it's just soy boy again, but but now with the word tofussy.
Great. Did we write? Is that the only thing we've written down so far?
Well, we've also got amniotic sac rebirthing for high powered.
Great.
CEOs.
Yeah, fantastic. And they're two very distinct ideas. Very distinct ideas with a very, you know, specific area, but interpreting in completely fresh and interesting ways. Which I feel I can.
Thank you.
I can stand behind you while you perform at hiding. You know.
So you're going to stand behind me while I perform it in hiding.
Yeah, that's right. I think we'll all be in hiding.
I think we are in hiding.
Mm.
I picked a flower today.
Yes.
In my backyard.
Yes.
And when I looked at it, it looked like a very tiny orchid of some sort.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't find any more plants like it.
Did you think it was the last one?
I thought I might have just wiped out a very rare species of tiny orchid.
So it was beautiful and delicate and fragile.
It was beautiful. It was so, like, I couldn't imagine how beautiful it was. And then suddenly I was like, well, there better be more of these.
Yeah.
because this is so delicate and fragile. And
could have been the first dying of a new species as well. You know, those must be popping up all the time and failing, so that's fine. And as we've established on a previous podcast, actually killing the exact last of a species is also fine.
It's merciful.
It's merciful.
It's merciful.
It's,
yeah.
It's actually the right thing to do. So I think you're probably off the hook. Although I guess plants don't reproduce in exactly the same way as animals. Maybe it could have. It could have continued somehow. Were it not for... I mean, if the last one was in your backyard in suburban Melbourne, it probably wasn't in a great place anyway for its long-term survival.
Well, you don't know this. I've got a full almost... It's all clay. It's just clay and little rocks, right, in my backyard. Mm. But somehow... We've started cultivating moss, and I really like this.
Moss.
I got a little mossy ecosystem out in one corner, and it's the nicest part of the yard.
But you can't really do much with moss. You can't go on it or anything because it's so fragile, isn't it? You just destroy it instantly.
I mean, I've walked on moss. Is moss that fragile? I think moss is a good alternative to lawn.
I don't believe that is the case, Alistair. I think if you walked on it even, you know, twice or something like that, it's not hard wearing at all.
I think that there are probably grasses that are like that, and we had to find harder wearing grasses in order to have these lawns that we all have today. And that's why I'm suggesting that there is probably a moss out there that can handle the wear and tear that is required.
You think that
for the suburban
lawn, could be like we could develop a new kind of moss, and we could develop like a sports moss that is actually graded for use on, you know, on cricket pitches and that sort of thing. This moss is so hard wearing that you can. You can play tennis on it at Wimbledon, and it's actually tougher than AstroTurf, this moss, and it's so soft as well.
I think moss also grows very interestingly. I think it's like, it's, you know, it's a completely different type of creature. Mm. It's not like from seed. And then I think they kind of replicate from each part, you know, sort of like a, you know, like if you imagine like a, like, let's say a biscuit that is a magic biscuit. And if you, every time you take a bite from it, a bit grows back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. But if you crumble it in your hand, each crumb, a new biscuit grows back from it.
That's good.
Like that?
I mean, it actually sounds a little like a curse.
It is absolutely a curse, because then suddenly you've got to lock up these, you've got to lock up these biscuits so that nobody crumbles them ever.
What happens if you eat the biscuit? Does it turn into infinity biscuits in your digestive system?
Yeah,
and it explodes?
You essentially just kind of you explode. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And then all those bits of biscuits shatter on the ground and then become more biscuits. And how long do how long do you think until the entire Earth is destroyed?
Well, it depends whether or not, you know, like the sort of the state sends in the military.
Because what, you know, what the military would do? They would try and nuke the biscuit. And that is the last thing you want. Right? Because then every biscuit's divided into individual molecules.
Yeah, unless when it goes from being, you know, in that nuclear blast, if it goes from being matter to energy, that might be the only thing that stops it from retaining any of its biscuitness.
Oh, unless the magic is applies even to the energy, and then the energy turns into infinite biscuit energy, and then universe is truly fucked.
You get a biscuit shockwave.
There'd be some. There'd be a cookie jar. There'd have to be some kind of high security cookie jar. Sort of like whatever the cookie version of that Perspex prison that they put Magneto in the first X-Men movie. But this would be the highest security cookie jar you've ever seen. And then, you know, obviously who took the cookie from the cookie jar would become...
Well, this is what happens, right? It's a heist movie.
Yes.
And these people get down to this thing, and they're here to steal like a bag of diamonds or whatever, you know. But then they see in this Perspex thing a biscuit, or a cookie jar of some sort.
So the magic biscuit is being kept in a bank vault.
Yeah, some kind of vault that these people have penetrated, and they're here to steal something else. But then they take these biscuit with them, try to see if it's got any value.
Yeah, it must.
You know, they know a guy who can move rare stuff.
They know a guy who can identify the provenance of a biscuit.
Yeah, they go, well, if there's a biscuit down here, it's got to be the most valuable biscuit ever. Mm-hmm. You know, they think it's probably like, you know, it's probably like a nice Volvo that would belong to Marie Antoinette.
That's a really good pairing of an individual and a biscuit.
Thank you.
You really very quickly filtered through all the humans of history and found the one that was most spiritually akin to an iced Volvo.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine her having a scotch finger.
No, she wouldn't. It's too tame. Mm. Unless she has like a can of whipped cream that she can spray on it.
Oh, well, yeah, again, you made that very royal, very regal.
I think that there's definitely a sort of sketch / film in the Infinite Biscuit Heist.
Great. Well, can I just bring us back then slightly to when I was talking about the moss being used at Wimbledon, it did make me realise, of course, that there are only two major surfaces that tennis, or maybe three major surfaces that tennis is played on. And that does overlook the bounty of surfaces that God has provided us with. And I do think it's a shame that there are no tennis fixtures played on mud and
concrete.
Concrete, sure.
Custard.
Alistair, yes. Now you're talking my language.
Well, the other day I was stirring custard. And I was really having fun kind of moving fast and finding it difficult, then moving slow and finding it really easy.
Playing with the non-Newtonian properties of the custard.
Yeah.
Yeah, terrific. Well, I mean, if it's not something we've already pitched on the show before, I think tennis played on custard is a terrific idea. I mean, I think it would make the game more interesting, because...
Yeah.
It would keep it. You'd have to keep moving, wouldn't you? Because at the moment, there's a lot of standing still in tennis. That's my understanding of tennis. Very static.
Well, yeah, but I mean, there is some standing still, and that's where it would. That's what we would remove.
You'd get that out of there. None of this.
Any down air. So you think it's on the court is now just it's like a meter deep pool.
Yes, of custard.
Of custard.
I wonder,
thick.
if things can bounce off it then, if it is non-Newtonian, when the ball strikes the custard, will it bounce?
It feels like its fluid-like properties would definitely absorb a lot of that. But, I mean, I guess if you can run on it... That's an equal and opposite.
Yeah.
Or does it all lay flat? Can you bounce things on non-Newtonian fluids? I mean, it's a question.
Well, this is made me realise that the show the segment from the old Letterman, Will It Bounce? Bouncing is, of course, it takes two to bounce, doesn't it? Because it's not just the thing that's bouncing, it's the surface that it's bouncing off, which is just as crucial. And... We tend to think of bouncing being a property of the thing that is being bounced, but the surface is itself as much a part of the bounce equation. And let's relaunch Will It Bounce, but the thing that is dropped every week is exactly the same, but it's a different surface beneath that it's bouncing off. Probably won't be as spectacular as interesting, but it's just as intellectually valid.
No, absolutely. So we're just taking Letterman and turning him on his head.
Yes.
And throwing him towards various surfaces.
Correct. Will Letterman
bounce? I think I just watched a video in which a bouncy ball bounced on non-Newtonian fluid.
Mm. So it can work.
I believe so. If it doesn't work with normal tennis balls, we could move it up, change the ball to sort of be a more sort of rubbery, bouncy ball.
No, I refuse to change the ball. I don't want to damage the integrity of the game. I don't want to change the game I love. How dare you?
So will it bounce? Will it bounce? I think he mostly did bowling balls and watermelon, didn't he?
Yeah, mostly. Time after time. I mean, I don't even know if I've ever even seen the segment or only heard it described to me by you. It feels like that's where I get most of my knowledge of these kinds of things. Anyway,
Is that
a sketch idea? Right?
Look, I'll write it down.
Yes.
Just because you're...
Because I'm so desperate for it.
Well, yeah. A pile of dead bodies. Will...
A pile of dead bodies?
Yeah.
What is that?
That's whether or not a bowling ball will bounce off of a pile of dead bodies.
Great. Yes. The corpse. Corpse court. Now, can we play? Because once you know that, you know if you can play tennis on it. So you know if
that's
you can
right.
play
it's
tennis.
Just, it's the first round. To finding out whether or not you can play tennis on things.
Mm-hmm.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
crowd surfing, Alistair. And I mean, that's just another surface, isn't it? Crowd surfing. And if there's crowd surfing, is there also crowd windsurfing? Is there also crowd yachting?
Sure. I mean, I guess any water sport.
Any you know, crowd.
Crowd bodyboarding.
Mm.
And can you get a crowd, like a wave to crash?
Yeah.
I guess, would it be a Mexican wave?
That's really cool, isn't it? I wonder. I reckon you could get a pretty good thing going. I don't think you'd necessarily want hands. Or maybe you do. I think what I would want is I'd want everyone in the crowd to be wearing greased up boxing gloves. Really greasy boxing gloves, right? And to do a Mexican wave. And then I would try and surf that wave on a surfboard. And I think that would work. Right?
I think a very packed stadium.
Mm. Yep.
A very packed stadium. All the seats have been taken out. It's just people standing on each level.
Yep.
Very well packed together.
Right.
And then you ride the crowd from the top.
Yeah.
Down the bottom. They've all got their greased up boxing gloves. But then near the end, you know, there's that part where the court is, or the field or whatever is down the bottom. And it goes up a little bit to stop people in the boundary, to stop people from going up. That's more people that stand up. And then that's your little ledge to be launched.
I don't understand.
So you travel down the stadiums, where the seating is.
Yeah, are they doing a wave as you go down?
Yeah, but it's gravity that's really pulling
you down. Yeah, okay, so you're really just sliding at this point over their boxing glove fists held high.
Yeah, but they're all kind of, you know, and they're also taking their hands away as you come, so you kind of, you know, so you're, I don't know, you're just, there's just extra falling.
Yeah.
You kind of, and then at the end, you just go up onto their gloves, and you get launched up into the middle of the
onto the stage, flip or something where you're performing.
Maybe, gosh,
yeah.
Imagine Eddie Vedder doing that in 1983.
But I'm more interested in if everybody's on a totally flat surface, right?
Yeah,
and they are they're all the same height somehow through shoe boosts or whatever, and then they all do a Mexican wave sort of. That moves, right? And as the wave moves across this flat surface, you can surf on the front of that wave, surely. Right?
Yeah, maybe.
I mean,
it might be possible, Andy.
Thank you. That's all I needed to hear.
How are you picturing them surfing? Are you seeing them on a board? I'm or are you seeing them seeing just them sort of laying down on... I was just picturing him laying down and just body surfing.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think that would work as well. You are then essentially being punched. You know, you are being punched around by boxing gloves on your body, and that might be quite. I mean, I guess you're sliding across them as well, though, aren't you? Like, it's sort of like orbiting the Earth in that you spin around and around the Earth and you're always falling towards the Earth, but you never hit it. And I think if you're constantly sliding off boxing gloves, you're never actually being punched. Yeah. So I think you'd be okay. You ever crowd surfed?
No, don't think so.
No, I don't think I have either.
Don't think so.
I think it's the sort of thing.
No, I mean, you seem like a real crowd surfing kind of guy.
I know, but yeah.
I mean, I'd just get an erection immediately.
just from the sheer volume of contact. Not
of hands, any of just it pulsing.
Has to be sexual. No. It only has to be a tiny little bit sexual, and you're being touched so much that cumulatively it very quickly would become the most erotic of all possible experiences.
Well, I mean, it would be so taboo.
Yeah, yeah.
For this to be leading to something, you know, with everybody, that would just be...
Well, with any kind of surfing, I think that you need that little keel to keep you steady in the water. and I think the erection could.
Could be the thing. But just
could be the thing.
Actually, is what makes him such a good body, I mean, crowd surfer. It's why he's so stable up there.
Yeah.
He brings his own fin.
Is that anything else? Don't think that's anything.
I don't think so. I wouldn't want to body surf. I mean, crowd surf sort of body down. I don't think I can write this down, Andy. I feel immediate shame.
Yeah, no, of course. I totally understand, Alistair. It's the sort of thing that you can only just say out of your own voice onto a recorded medium. Yeah. But as soon as you write it down in the impersonal form of handwriting, it becomes deeply, deeply shameful. And No, yeah, don't do that to yourself, Al.
I think I just picture a couple of people that I know who listen to the pod, and then I feel them being disappointed with me.
Well, I guess you do have that ultimate deciding power of whether or not something gets written down, and so I think you probably feel a little bit like a gatekeeper. And when you do write something down, that is your seal of approval. You're saying that I think this is a good idea. And basically that would be you saying, I think people should go at crowd surfing with erections. And
I've been watching a lot of sort of mixed martial arts recently.
Alistair, I mean, this is a real shock to me because you've only brought it up on every podcast.
Yeah, and I wonder whether or not you get erections while you're fighting people. I think it's just too much. It's too much contact, and it feels like there's just a lot of blood pumping around. Yeah. It feels like it's, you know.
Well,
maybe
I wonder if you could just like, because they also grab each other and squeeze each other a lot, don't they? So I wonder if it's a lot of grabbing and squeezing. Squeeze the blood into the penis area. In a sort of a non-sexual erection, but like you would squeezing, you know, toothpaste through a tube. Like, could you just squeeze all the blood to that region, and then it?
Of course. I reckon it could happen with a really strong handshake.
Well, the blood's got to go somewhere, doesn't it?
Exactly. That's why I never give people too masculine a handshake because I don't want them to immediately get unintentionally aroused. Mm.
That's fantastic.
Anyway, if anybody's a fighter of some sort, a combat sport artist, let me know. Do you guys get erections when you fight? And has it just become a thing that you're all like, hey, it's just what happens?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it happens to all of us. It's an exciting
sport. I mean, these are the worries. I'm having these worries of like a 16-year-old boy in high school who's like worried about having to carry his folder in front of his belly.
Yeah. Well, I have noticed that a lot of those UFC fighters do carry a folder.
While
they're fighting. And I'd always wondered what that was about. And that does seem to be in front of their waist a lot of the time, especially when they get up from the chair at the end of a long class. I think that could be it. Can we turn this into a sketch, Alistair?
Yeah, I feel like there's a sketch. I mean, look, there'd be a big audience for it because there's such a big audience for, you know, mixed martial arts.
Wow. Okay, well, this could be, you know, maybe we could, like the Beach Boys just decided they were going to be surf rockers, even though only one of them surfed. Maybe we'll decide that we're going to become mixed martial arts comedians just because it's a genre.
That's a good idea.
That we think we could work within. It's a
huge,
I think.
And because usually guys like this who are not, you know, tough in any way, we wouldn't fit into that kind of world. But by doing that brand of comedy, I think we could, you know, we could. That's they all could be punches in the face. I wish they all could be punches in the face.
I think
that's actually a Beach Boys themed mixed martial artist comedian.
I think the trainer you know, somebody's starting out in mixed martial arts or whatever. Maybe they're coming over from a different genre of fighting. And their trainer, straight away, one of the first things they teach them is it's all sort of early on, a lot of stuff just based around concealing erections and how to deal with it and that sort of thing. And this fighter's like, I don't think that's going to be a problem. And they're like, no, trust me, this is the main challenge in this form.
The sensei of some sort, right? He's telling this group, it's their first day, like, Dad.
Mm.
And he talks about how serious it is. He tells them the squeezing theory, right? And then at the end, people go, whoa. And he goes, and he sees some other experienced guy there. He goes, is that true? He goes, for him it is.
That's his truth, sure.
Look, it's something.
Stiff competition, Alistair.
Stiff
competition. How many sketch ideas have we written down?
Wouldn't you like to know?
I mean, how many, and then you can tell me how many you feel good about.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We've got 6 written down, Andy.
Okay.
And I feel good about all 6.
Yes.
Especially, my favorite, I think, is Will It Bounce, but Change Floor.
Great.
Will it bounce, but change floor? Will it bounce, but change floor? Will it bounce, but change floor? We got 3 words from a listener, Andy. Are you okay with me moving on to this
segment? Yeah, I'd really like that.
Well, Andy, I don't know if you know this, but we have people who support us on Patreon.
Gods.
It is the most generous thing anybody could ever do. Angels on this earth. And I think most of them are on this earth. And this listener is relatively new, you know, within the sort of months old kind of scenario. And their name is Julian Wales.
J-Dub.
Hello, Julian.
Hi, Julian. Thank you so much for supporting us on Patreon. That's a really kind thing to do. And I hope you enjoyed all the sexual and erection-based material in today's episode.
Yep, you did that. They asked with our 3 words that you guess, try to guess for each one.
Okay.
So you want to? They want you to guess 3 times.
They obviously really like the guessing part.
Look, someone's bound to.
Okay. Okay.
They like the guessing part, but they like it too much.
Yeah. Lumbago.
No, but there's. I like how many. I mean, look, there's only one U in there, but that was a. You know, it's not that far off how many U's are in this one. The first word is suburbia.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Nape? Nape? Like the nape of the neck? Yeah.
No, and I gotta say, you're way off, especially in the number of U's that are in the second word. Because the second word is succulent.
Okay. Is the third word succubus?
No, Andy. That's too close to succulent.
All right.
But I do like the number of U's you put in there, because that's spot on for what this third word has, which is surf and turf. So, probably the most correct you've ever been in terms of the number of U's.
Thanks, Al. Well, this of course makes me immediately think of how good the fish and chip shop is in my country town that I'm in. Have I talked about that on the podcast before?
I know you've talked about it at one point, and God, I can't imagine that we wouldn't save a good bit of conversation like that for the pod. We would go, let's not waste this.
Well, I mean, it's you know, and I probably did talk about it, but like, the you know, the statistic is that the further you are away from the coast, normally the worse the fish and chips should be. That's just maths. But
yeah,
here we're quite a long way inland, and it is terrific. And I don't know if that's maybe an indicator that there could be a vast underground reservoir of some kind, like
or
an Artesian
basin. Or the ocean will be there soon.
Or the ocean's on its way, or has only just receded relatively recently, or there's an as yet undiscovered inland sea where that people just haven't looked in that direction yet. But maybe we can... Oh, I mean, maybe, you know, the water diviner, how they can find fresh water with with a stick that bends. You walk along and the stick bends towards...
Finds a new ocean.
Very specific. Well, if you want to find salt water, which I'm sure a lot of people do, all you have to do is drive along in a van, constantly making fresh batches of fish and chips and sampling them to determine the quality. And as they improve in quality, you're approaching a body of salt water. And it's very useful for people for looking for brine. You need brine for pickling onions.
Cans of tuna? Uh-huh.
For pickling onions. You need brine
Do they pickle onions in brine?
I don't know,
just
Alistair.
Just like salty water.
I don't know. Maybe not onions. Maybe olives. I'm sure olives are briny.
I just assumed that all pickling involves vinegar.
Yeah, but what about olives, though? Do you reckon there's vinegar in olives? Because I think that
I don't know, but I guess are they pickled? Are they pickled or are they just jarred?
Yeah, really good. Really good distinction.
You know, I don't know. So, I mean, look, Andy, I think that thing is interesting. It does feel like it could be a sketch idea.
Thigh-slappingly interesting. Absolutely. Shit your
pants.
I'm going to
write it
interesting.
Down. Surf and turf.
Water divining.
Salt water divining.
Yeah, but yeah, no, look, I absolutely understand that.
But I guess it's where it goes, you know, after, you know, I don't think the idea of finding salt water that way is the end point of this sketch. I think, you know, the fact that he finds one inland is very interesting. And I don't know if it's just underneath the country that the country, it's like it finds out that the country is actually just floating.
Maybe you crack the surface of it like a creme brulee with the back of a spoon. That's what he does. Mm-hmm. He goes along and he leans down. He gets out his little silver spoon from his top pocket and he goes on the ground and there under the ground, water, salt water, fresh salt water.
Fresh salt water.
Quick, bring the onions.
And maybe olives.
And then...
Andy...
It's because they were trapped, they were lost, right? They'd fallen out of, or their plane had crashed. They were in the desert. And they had an abundance of everything except for antipasto, except for a little something to put on the plate, on the table before the meal. They had so much food, so much water. But what they lacked was a little bowl of sort of dipping things and maybe some little olives that just have something while you're waiting for the main course to arrive. And fortunately, they were able to use some of the abundant supplies of fish and chips that they had to follow this system and allow them to locate some brine.
I see them as an oceanographer. Who's just doing this paper as like a, you know, a April Fool's joke or something.
Oh, yep.
You know, because they're like, well, it's something we all know intrinsically, but we may as well, you know, release this. You got to publish or die, that kind of thing. So you may as well just publish one. And then they realize that there's just this weird circle of really good fish and chip shops out inland for some reason.
Well, actually, you know, you could do this just with harvest data off Google Maps and, you know, look at the reviews if you could of different fish and chip shops in different locations. Try and correlate them to any kind of, like, broader pattern. You know, this could all be done just digitally. We have all this data now. Nobody's using it in creative ways.
No, especially not to find any inland oceans.
Correct. So, anyway.
Or underland oceans.
Mm, no, it's that's the innest of all the lands, isn't it? It's in the land.
Julian Wales, I hope you're happy.
Elsewhere in your life, because God knows this isn't going to help.
This sketch
isn't. I hope you've got
it.
Other stuff going on.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Julian.
Those were really great words, and I enjoyed hearing them and guessing them and being wrong. I'm going to get one of them one of these days.
Oh, you're bound to, Andy. The statistics are on your side.
I feel like I was close today with those U's.
Yeah, definitely the closest. And you were very close to the previous word with the amount of U's and the number of C's.
Mm, thanks.
Succulent and succubus. Ah, oh, if only you hadn't just heard the word succulent.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Would have been better. Mm.
Oh, wait. You didn't have the same right amount of U's. Does the succubus have three U's?
Suck you bus. Yeah, I think it does.
Oh, you were wrong. You overshot it by one with surf and turf.
Oh, well. Sorry, everyone.
So it's back to complete failure. All right, I'm going to take us through the sketches. We got amniotic sac rebirthing for the high-powered CEOs. Mm. Then we have cease the suffering of living beings with tofussy. Then we got infinite biscuit heist. This is the biscuit that regenerates. It was somebody who'd wished for it with a genie.
Yep.
And then quickly discovered
they were able
Before biting into it.
Yeah.
Even before biting into it, they immediately realized, wait, this is going to be a bad thing.
Yeah. So they'd wished for a biscuit whenever it's broken, it reforms. Yeah.
Mm.
I can see that.
Or whenever a bite's taken out of it, you know? Yeah. It's probably a Tim Tam.
Yeah, well, it is the old classic never-ending packet of Tim Tams wish that turns out to be a curse.
Does that turn out to be a curse?
No, but it does here.
But it would be a curse if you accidentally tipped it upside down.
Yeah, you're right. And then and then they would fall out, and then as they fall, that would push up the packet, causing more to fall out until it like blasts off on a pile of Tim Tams into outer space.
Yeah. But think of all the added resources Earth would get.
Yeah.
Just from having all these Tim Tams on land.
Yeah. But they're going to go bad.
Yeah, I know, but we might be able to, mine them for something.
We could burn them.
Use them as a fuel.
Yeah. You're right.
All right. Then we got tennis on custard court. Then we got will it bounce but change floor. Then we got the MMA squeezing theory of erection coach. And then we got the surf and turf saltwater diviner fresh saltwater sketch.
Before the episode, you were talking about the nature of consciousness, and I said, Alistair, save it. We'll talk about this on the podcast. This is fascinating. And then this is what we ended up talking about on the podcast.
Look. It's season two, baby.
Season two. Uh-huh. I'm looking forward to season three. It's going to be really good, I reckon.
Yeah, so that's after the 400th episode?
400th?
I think so. I think we did 200 episodes, then we started season two.
Okay, sure. I mean, I guess we better be consistent about this.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Alistair, for listening.
No, and thank you, listeners, as well.
Oh, yeah, I suppose.
No, but also them. Hey, you can always download by Magma off of sospresents.com. Mm. You can always follow us on Twitter or Instagram at Two and Tank. Mm. You can listen to Shusher. I'm going to do a new episode soon, I think.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah. Now, Shusher Guided Meditations, for those who don't know what that is. You can follow Andy at Stupid Old
That's
Andy
right,
on
can.
Twitter.
Yeah,
you can follow me at Alistair TB or at A Tremblay Virtual on Instagram, and you can like us and you know, leave us a review on iTunes or Stitcher or.
Alistair, you know, did just, a really, really great tweet recently that you should go and look at and retweet.
What was it?
The one about the bag. What's in the bag?
Oh, the bag. What's in the bag? Well, Andy, I appreciate you liking
That's
it.
That's my favorite thing I think I've ever seen on the internet.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I got another one in my mind, but it's about what's in my pocket.
I'm really into that.
Yeah?
Can you tell me, I mean, maybe we should talk about, I don't want to spoil it for people who haven't seen your tweet, but the thing that's in the bag,
me about it without,
did you have that thing and then you thought of the thing, or did you make the thing that's in the bag specifically for the thing?
I made the thing in the bag specifically for the bag.
That makes it
no
so much
in
better.
It. There's no sugar in it, so it was terrible to eat. I didn't bother putting all that sugar that needs.
So you did eat it, did you?
Well, not very much.
You sampled it and you had a bad time.
Yeah.
Still, I'm so proud of you. It's absolutely incredible content.
And Andrew, I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
You're constantly doing lovely and wonderful and hilarious tweets.
Oh, thanks, Al. It's been a while, but yeah, I'll take it.
Don't worry. We're all slowly just, you know, giving up on everything. So,
and
yeah, that's why me too. Anyway, and we
love you.
You. See ya.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. It's not optional. You have to do it. We used to go easy on it, but now you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.